You're about to hear the Daf Yomi on Masechet Chulin from Daf Cycle number 12 in the year Tovshin Ayin Aleph. It'll be followed by a rapid review enabling you to get a quick glimpse of the Daf, and then I'm going to replay you the Daf from the 11th cycle from the year 2004, which you might enjoy more because of a different ambience and different participants. Enjoy. Today's daf in Masechet Nida, brought to you by Ben Chabot Yerushalayim, is daf Mem Beit. We're holding a quarter of the way down at Boy Minei Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna Me'abaye, and basically we're holding really in the middle of a discussion of what the din is of a poletet shechvat zera in terms of being metame bifnim in the Beit Achitzon, or is it dafke kabbalah, which is metame only bachutz. We just had the machlokis and the braita between the Rabbonan and Rabbi Shimon, holds daya kabbalah. But mela, we started the whole issue of the din of tuma that comes from the tashmish hamita, specifically isha sheishkav isha b'shichvat zera, the gzera takatuv, that even though normally it would be called, in Rabbi Shimon's word, beit astarim, it's gzera takatuv. In any event, that opens up here the whole question of what the relationship is of poleta shechvat zera. Yes, we had this entire halacha about 3 days not being able to be tovelet, and nafkamina between a poleta and a mishameshet. What is the din of a poleta shechvat zera in terms of the dinim of re'ia or the dinim of maka? And that's what we want to raise today, that issue. And this is exactly what Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna asks Abaye. Tell me something. A poleta shechvat zera, is she considered to be a ro'ah? Even though obviously she gets this shechvat zera from somebody else, but somehow or other the Torah seems to be makbid on her in strange ways. So maybe she has a din of a ro'ah, or does she know God? And the nafkamina will be, first of all, to be soter shivat nekiyim. If she's a din of tuma, if somebody touches a sheretz or touches shechvat zera during Shivas Nekiyin, it's not Negea, that's not Soser. The only dinim that are Soser are things that come out of her, which is said to be Ro'ah. So Zivas Nidais, is Shechvat Zera called Ro'ah, or is it that it's just touching her? So that would be one question. The other question is that there's always a major difference in the dinim of Re'ia. Re'ia doesn't have a Shir. Re'ia is always B'mashal. But the substance that is Metame always has a Shir. So, in other words, this shechvat zera maybe has a shear of adash or whatever. We'll see later on what the shear is. But it's certainly not mashu. But if she's a ro'ah, then it's a mamish mashu, whatever it is. Those are the two nafkaminas. Now, there's also, of course, the nafkamina that we spoke about yesterday, which is latami bifnim kabachot. Because if she's a ro'ah, the Torah was a machadish bivsara, that even though it's still not out of her body, but nonetheless, it's mitzami. Mashenkin, it's maga. I mean, so there's no din of maga in the Beit HaStarim. That's the one I don't understand. Monavshach, if Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna heard yesterday's discussion, he heard that brayta, then he knows that it's a machlokes Rabbanan Rav Shimon, right? So according to Rabbanan, remarkably, there's a din of raya, and that's why exactly why the Rabbanan said that in such a case, we don't argue that it's daya kabbalah, that the din over there is bifsara, that she's polet, that she's chaser. We learn from a pasuk, yeah, that she's in batami, b'gzerat hakatuv, even bifni. So obviously they hold that she's a roya. Okay, then he knows it's a machlokes. Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold that. Rabbi Shimon says daya kabbalah. So clearly he holds it's no god. So what's he asking? So if he knows the Mishnah, then he knows the answer. The Rabbanan ro'ah, the Rabbi Shimon no god. If he didn't hear that brayta, where would anybody come up with the idea, unless you already heard that there's a gzerat hakatuv from the pasuk that a poleta shechvat zera is a ro'ah, where would you come up with such a crazy idea? I mean, it seems like a crazy idea. You have to have a marker for such a weird idea that she should have a din of a ro'ah. I mean, ro'ah means, by definition, something that comes from her body. Shechvat zera doesn't come from her body. So then, obviously, you should have just said, mistaver, she's a no-god. Where would I have thought otherwise? Says the Gemara, obviously, he knows the brayta. Liolam Shmia Lematnita should say all this. He did know the brayta, yes. And he wasn't asking. According to Rabbanan, he knew what the din is that she's a raya. Leave it to Rabbanan, look at me, boy. His question was dafke aimed at Rabbi Shimon. In other words, Rabbi Shimon says that she cannot be Matami Bifnim Gebachutz Because how could Shechva Zera be more metame her than it would be metame the very male who gives it to her? That doesn't make any sense. That's his argument. So, therefore, he wasn't really asking three things. He was asking two things. That was, he knew that Latami Bifrim Kabachut Salokabibai. That's not what his question was. So it was a little bit of a misrepresentation to say Lamai Nafkamina. Latami Bifrim Kabachut, he knew what the answer was. It's not Latami. Nonetheless, he still wanted to know about the other two issues. Kikomi Boile Listor, in terms of the Shiva Snikim, and to be Matame Bechoshim. And this is my question, mine. Because all that Rabbi Shimon said was Daya Kabayala. Now that doesn't necessarily translate into saying that she's only Tamea Mishumaga. Daya Kabayala means that Boala himself, had he been Roya, the Shechvat Zera, it needed to come out of his penis. It never would be Matame inside. So therefore it should have to come out of her vagina, not be Matame inside. That's logical. But as far as the other two issues are concerned, is Shechvat Zera Seiser? Yes. Seiser is Shivas Nikim, if he was a Zav. I mean, it's only Seiser Yonachon. We had the discussion before, but Seiser it is. Yeah? And furthermore, is it Matame B'chol Shehu? Yes. To the person who actually ejaculated this, so therefore, the question is over here, did Rabbi Shimon mean, when he said Daya Kabbalah, to say, look, it should only be Matame as Maga? Or what he was saying is, look, well, let's give him the same thing. She can't be different than him. Maybe she's still a din of a Raya, because he would be Tame like that. Or was he just saying that it makes no sense to look at her as if this is her Shechvat Zera? That's all he's saying. In which case, basically, she's a no god. There's another approach. The other approach is that actually he did not hear the bride, and he came up on his own with the suggestion that maybe a Poleta Shechvat Zera is a Ro'ah. You know where he came up from the suggestion? From Har Sinai. Because we find this strange concentration on the question of Shechvat Zera on Har Sinai. I mean, you know, why not make a big fuss about Shrotzim on Har Sinai, about Zovin on Har Sinai, about Mitzrayim? You don't hear anything about that. All you hear about is this weird thing, stay away from women, we don't want that leaking semen. Well, who cares? I'd be like, well, I understand. Unless the Torah actually views this as a Ro'ah at the moment. So apparently it's giving her some very special chumrah. So mini achmar achmana balakarim besinai. So it views her therefore as a raya. Or we say you can't learn out anything from Sinai, because anyway, it's a weird situation. Because, and if she's a raya, so what? So therefore, she's worse than a zava, she's worse than a nida. Did the Torah say, no nida, it's up on our Sinai? It didn't say anything. Whatever, but it's more makan on Kerry than it is on Nidais. So normally it's the other way around. Zovin and Mitzrayim are certainly more chomer than Rabal Kerry. The Torah's not makan on them. Same thing happens on Yom Kippur, which is a reconstruction of our Sinai being attacked in Aluchas. The Omasecha is involved in this weird problem of the Kohen God. If you let him sleep for 10 seconds, he'll be ready to carry, which is nuts. Then that's because we're basically applying the Har Sinai thing. So anyway, there's some kind of obsession with this particular problem on Har Sinai, which leads to the Takon of Ezra, not to learn Torah as a Balkari, similar to Har Sinai. Whereas we're not Makar on Duma, Bechlal. Okay, so the other things, normally Zomim Mitzrayim is more common, and yet we don't find the Torah is Makar on Har Sinai. So Memela must be that there's some new issue that's involved. So maybe he came up with this on his own, basically, by looking at the overall context of Balkari and the Torah. Okay, so he asked this question, Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna. He went and asked this question to Abaya, and Abaya's answer was, she's a Ro'ah. Okay, so he goes and he asks Rava to see what Rava's opinion is, or Rava it could be. And he says, she's a Ro'ah. He comes to Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, she's a Ro'ah. Nobody explains anything. It's just a given. Comes back to Abaya. And he says to him, you know, you all seem to spit at each other's mouth. I mean, what? You're talking the same way. This is it. It's interesting. It's a contemporary Arabic expression, word for word. Kula b'chada ruka tafidu. They actually say spit in each other's mouth. Over here, it's you spit the same kind of spit in the same place. Meaning, when you want to talk about something where people just support each other's opinion without knowing what they're talking about, like you're just quoting internet sites, you say you all spit in each other's mouth in Arabic. So this is very interesting. This is like a forerunner. It's much nicer. But it's a forerunner of that Arabic expression. But in any event, meaning he was angry. I mean, what am I asking you for a psak halacha? This is my question. I'm asking for the concept. I want to understand how you look at this. I mean, yeah, I know what the din is, Ali, but the Rebbe Shimon. And then you come along and you say, no, she's a raya. So he comes back to Abaye and he says, look, you know, you're all telling me nothing, basically. Abaye says, no, I'm not telling you nothing. Shut your God. I mean, everybody's telling you something intelligent. What they're telling you is that Adkan, no come Rebbe Shimon, Dayan Kabbalah. The whole point of Rebbe Shimon is the concentration on the relationship of her to the donor of the semen. Why you could even say Daya Kabayala over there? If what he meant was the issue is that she's only a nogat, say so. Don't make the argument from Daya Kabayala. The argument from Daya Kabayala is irrelevant to the issue of being Seisa Shiva Sakiyim. It is Seisa because she was Sakiyim by him. It's irrelevant to be Matame Bekoshu. It is Matame Bekoshu Kabbalah. So if Rabbi Shimon insists on saying Daya Kabbalah, that wasn't it's just a loose expression. This is what he's saying. We give him her the same thing, that he is a Raya, she is a Raya, but she can't be more Chomer as a Raya than he is as a Raya. That's all that we're saying. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Hanida Vazava Vashomeret Yom Keneged Yom Vayoledet. So all of these cases, a nida, full zava gedayla was roya shloisha yomim, a shemeres yom keneged yom, who was roya yom echad shnei yomim during the achadasar yom, bein nida laziva. And a yoledet, what is that? There's no new category of a yoledet, like Gemara's going to ask, but a yoledet ra metame, even in the Beit HaChitzon, it doesn't have to leave their body. Now, okay, I understand. Bishon akula l'chaim. It's gewaldic, right? Very nice. Nida, savash, meres, yom. What in the world is a yoledet? I mean, there's no new quality of dam called yoledet. Is there? If she was yoledet b'mei nida, so then she's a nida. If she was yoledet b'mei ziva, so then she's a ziva. But that's included already in the first part of the braita. What do you add when you say yoledet? I don't understand. Oh, I'll tell you what it is. The case is like this. She is a yoledet that is coming to be developed between her Yemei Tuma and her Yemei Taira, between Dam Taira. So now the din is, the way we paskin, and as Bezalel says, obviously it's not enough to have Yomim, you need Tefillah. Not like Shammai. You need Tefillah. So she has her 14 days, let's say, in the Keva, she's about to go into the Mikvah, and she's roya dam as she goes into the mikvah, but it didn't come out. That's the problem. So it's talking about over here, Lotzrika, she yardalitful mitumalatara. She's going into the mikvah, and she has to now be mafseket between dam tome and dam toar by being tovelet. And the case was, like Rabbi Zera, Omra Pkebarashi Omarab, a yoledet that is yardalitful, she's on her way into the mikvah. But she hasn't yet been toveled, you know. So she's going to be toveled mitum alatara. And as she's walking into the mikveh, she feels that dam has come out of her womb, but it's still inside the Beit HaChitzon. But hasn't exited her body yet. So if that dam is still there, then even though she went to the mikveh, she's still going to be tmeya. That dam inside of her is going to be betamir. Now, this is what it's going to add. How it's going to be Batamir. Obviously, she's not a new Nida just because she has Dam in her vagina. It was a Nida and she went to the mikvah. Dam in the vagina doesn't stop a Nida from going to the mikvah. I mean, it may be that the Dam remains Tomei, but it's not a new Re'iyah. She's not Tomei. So we're going to ask in a moment, so why is it say she's tummy? I understand that this dam was dam that came from the first 14 days of Leda. So the dam is tummy. What does it have to do with her? Okay. If she is getting out of the mikveh and starts to feel this blood, that blood is dam tohar. Even though it's obviously the same blood in terms of the womb, what's the difference? It came out 30 seconds before, 30 seconds afterwards. But the point is, while it was in the womb, it's not matame. It's when it comes out of the womb that it's matame. So that it's a question of her status at the moment that it came out of the cheder into the prosdor and the bayit hachitzon. Good.
But bisara?
That's the bayit hachitzon, it's bisara.
It has to come out of the chitzon.
That, yeah. So now, ask the Gemara, okay, I understand. So you're telling me that she's matame, bifnim, kebachutz, meaning that this dam is betamir. I understand. How is this dam betamir? Omer Reb Yirmiyahu Le Reb Zera, why? I understand that dam is tamir, but why is she tamir? You're telling me because she has dam inside of her? Dam that's inside of a person, or anything that's inside of a person, is not betamir from the inside. It has to be touch you on the outside. There's no din of tuma. There's two halachas, which we're going to be talking about today. One is called Beit HaStarim, Tumah Beit HaStarim. The problem of Beit HaStarim is that any place that isn't normally exposed on the body, even though it could be exposed, you can open up your mouth wide, you can hold your arms up so your underarms are exposed, you can spread your legs so your crotch is exposed, but generally speaking, those areas are called Beit HaStarim. They're not generally open. So a sheretz touches the inside of your mouth, a sheretz touches you and your underarm, it's not going to be metame you, because Tumah Beit HaStarim is not metame. But something, let's say, that would be matami b'nevela, that is held, let's say you walk around with a piece of nevela under your arms, it'll be matami. Because not b'maga, but it's matami b'mas, nothing happens to the tumah. Then there's a deeper problem. That is the problem of tum'ah b'lu'ah. Tum'ah b'lu'ah means that it's literally inside of your body. So if it's inside of your body, it's not considered to be tummy. That's the point. So you swallow a piece of nevela, and it's in your stomach. Or a woman is keeping a piece of nevela inside of her womb. It's not going to be matambi b'masa, even though she walks around, because it's blue up, it's internalized. That's a different issue. There it affects the tumah. Beit HaStarim affects the din of maga. Those are two problems. In this case, it's even Tumah B'lu'ah. He's assuming that the Bayit HaChitzon is called B'lu'ah. Now later on we're going to ask whether it's Beit HaStarim or whether it's really B'lu'ah, and that'll be the Nafka Mina. Would it be Matami B'masa? Fine. But this Dam is certainly not going to be Matami. So he says, I don't understand. He asks Rabbi Zeir. I understand what the case is. Said Rabbi Zeir, listen, I already explained it very, very well to Rabbi Avin, okay? I don't know if I have to explain this whole thing again. I explained it to him. He nodded his head like he knew exactly what I was talking about. Karkish Liberesh, he's shaking his head very intelligently. He obviously held it was a good explanation. Go ask him. The Karkish Liberesh, Be Medrash, was in the base of Medrash. Go ask him. Azul Shaila. So he goes to ask Rabbi Avin. So what explanation did Reb Zera give? Reb Yirmiyahu asks Reb Avin. Oh, Marlei, well, he said a tremendous chiddush. He said, "Asau kenivlat of tahar shemetame begani mebeit abliya." If you swallow a nivlat of, you're metame begani zerat katuv. If you touch this nivlat of, it's not metame. If you carry this nivlat of, it's not metame. But if you swallow this nivlat of, it is matami. The Rabbanan viewed blood inside of this Beit HaChitzon to be the equivalent of nivlat of tahor, and somehow it's matami the woman. I said, what? That's crazy. Me, I understand, what are you talking about? What kind of crazy explanation is that? I mean, I understand you're saying the Rabbanan made it like it, but why in the world would they do such a thing? I mean, Nivlat of Tahar is not only unique in the fact that it's Metame in the Beit HaBliya. It's unique in the fact that it's only Metame in the Beit HaBliya. There can't be Metame any other way. It makes no sense to use that as a model for something that's Metame in a different way.
Shlomo, if you want to tell me, well, the Torah was very machmir, that besides the Dinamaga and Masa, it also viewed the Beit Abliya as being Shayach to Tuma. So we will view this as being Shayach to Tuma. I understand. But there is no such halacha in the Torah at all. There's either normal Tumas, Ramatabe, Bamaga, Bamasa, whatever, and none of them are Matabe, Beit Abliya. Or there's this magical new tumah that is not metameh b'maga b'masa, and is only metameh b'beit habriyah, and now you want to make a case where something is metameh b'maga, or maybe even b'masa, but also b'beit habriyah, because otherwise it won't be similar to nivlat of tahor. Well, it makes no sense to do that. There is no such category of tumah. So let's take a look at it inside. He said to me, dummy, what comparison is there? Hatam by the Nivlat of Tahor. What's unique about a Nivlat of Tahor is that it has no Tuma Bachutz at all. So then this Beit Abliya is inverted from the normal halachas. So that the normal way being Matame Bachutz doesn't apply. And in that case, the Torah says, here's a new type of Tuma that does apply. But over here, Kinofak Lavroi, over here when the Dam comes out, that's when it's Matame. Why in the world would you want to say that it would be Matami Bifnim, like a Nivlat of Tahor? What are you talking about? Oh, said the Rebbevin to him, no, I don't mean inside, of course. What Rabbi Zera said was that this dam that came out while she was going into the mikveh will be Matami her when it comes out. When it comes out? What's the Kiddush? Obviously. So then this whole thing is crazy. What does that have to do with Nivlas of Torah? Well, I don't see what you're driving me crazy over here. You're telling me there's this whole new halacha, and then it turns out there is no halacha. So then Maila Memra, I'll tell you first of all what the Chiddush is, okay? The Chiddush is the very case that we're talking about, where the difference is whether the Dam came out 10 seconds before, while she's on her way into the mikveh, or 10 seconds later, when she's on her way out of the mikveh. In either case, the dam was in her makar just 10 seconds before that, right? So it's the same dam. So isn't it a little weird that this dam, if we know it was in her makar, had it come out when she was on her way into the mikveh, it would be tame, and magically it becomes tar. How did the dam become tar if it didn't come out? So that means that when a woman goes into the mikveh, any dam that's inside of her makar is no longer matame. By definition, that's what you're saying. That since it wasn't outside of her, Mamela, it's not going to be affecting her anymore. It's as if the Dam itself became Tahor. Okay, so now, maybe, if that's the case, you would have thought that if this Dam is still inside of her, has it come out of her, albeit it's in the Beit HaChitzon and not in the Cheder, it's in the Prozdor. So if the Torah was Matayer, the Dam and the Cheder, when she goes into the Mikveh, so maybe it was Matayah the Dam in the Prosper when she goes into the Mikveh. Now when it comes out, it won't be Matayah even when it was Yotze. That's the Chiddush. Well, and what we spoke about explains the Ritva. I mean, this has absolutely nothing to do with calling it Nivlat Ov. It's crazy. When we spoke about Nivlat Ov, we meant a gentle type of metaphor. We understand that the same Ov that's Matayah and Bebeit HaBliya, you're going to get yourself all pimply. If Matame Bebeit Abliya, we understand that if it would be in his tummy, it wouldn't be Matame. So let's say somebody took this nevela and put it into his stomach. He didn't swallow it. So it wouldn't be Matame. In his stomach, it's Tuma Blua. Nonetheless, when it's in the Beit Abliya itself, it is Matame. So all we're doing is we're making a metaphor. If this blood is inside of her womb, it's like the nevela's inside of a guy's stomach. If this blood is inside of the prozdor, it's as if it's in a guy's Beit HaBliya. That's all we're saying. We're not making a new gzeira of the dam. We want you to understand that it's shayach such an event that the same dam that was inside of the cheder should become tahor, which goes to the mikveh, and it won't be tahor when it's in the prozdor. That's all that we're saying. That's the pshat. Let's see that inside.
It's inside the guy without him having swallowed.
Yeah, if a guy is pushes something into your stomach, that would be matami. It wouldn't be matami anymore. There's no svarat. Gzerat HaKatuv without any similarity to any tumor elsewhere in the Torah. That's it.
But when the tumor is activated,
The tumah is activated at that instant. Once it goes down, it's not going to be tumah anymore, and once it was further out, it won't be tumah. He goes to the mikveh, he still has it in him, it's not going to be tumah. Now, so let's see it inside. So, maila meimra, because ma'a the tumah, I might have thought, look, migo demani tvila the dam the yikit gaboy. Since the tvila clearly helps the blood that's inside of her womb, and now if it comes out after tvila, it will not be metamir. To any nami lahai, so let it be also metire her, the dam, that's in the prosdor. Kamash malan. That's what he said the pshat was. Yeah, okay, great. So now I have a pshat, but now this pshat has absolutely nothing to do with explaining the Mishnah, the Braita. The only reason we got into this whole discussion was because a Braita made a funny statement that a yoledet is betame bifnim kabachutz. And we asked you, well, what is that supposed to mean? So we came up with this thing, betame bifnim kabachutz, like this pshat. But now you're telling me this pshat doesn't mean betame bifnim kabachutz. It means it's betame when it comes out. Okay, great. So now shmaitin, I understand. So the whole discussion now becomes clear. Ifrik, but frankly, I wasn't interested in this discussion. I was trying to find the trap in the Braita. Now I'm back to the Braita. Okay, so thank you for the diversion. It was very pleasant, but let's repeat the question for the Braita. The Braita says, Ela Yoledet, I'm still asking you. My question was, Ibimei Nida Nida, Ibimei Ziva Ziva. My question stands. So what's the answer to my question? Yes, the question. The answer to the question is that this woman did not bleed. What? That's even worse. We're talking about a Leida Yevishta. Leida Yevishta, so then what's Metamek if it's Nimka Lachutzika? There's nothing to be Metamek. Aha, now you understand. You're right. We're not talking about blood anymore. We're talking about birth. What creates the moment of birth? The emergence of a fetus's head out of the body, or the emergence of the fetus's head from the cervix into the prostor? That's the question. That's what Tommy Bifnim Kabachot. Nothing to do with bleeding. Kigon Shotzi Vlad Rosho Chutz LaProstor. Now, the Vlad's head is visible, but it's still inside the passageway to the cervix, and the Chiddush is like Rav Hoshaya said. What was Rav Hoshaya referring to? Remember the case in Chulin was in a case where a fetus died in utero. The midwife touches the fetus as part of her attempt to deliver this dead fetus. She's Tamea. Tumas mates, because the fetus is dead. But the woman is not Tamea. Why? Because it's Tumas Beis Hablia. Ask the Gemara, so then why the heck is the Mialedet Tamea? Makes no sense. Answers Rav Hoshaya, because the Mialedet may have touched a fetus whose head had already emerged. Now, it's in the vagina, she touches it. So Lamaisa, it's not Tumah Blua at that point. On the other hand, it is not Metame the woman, because it's Tumat Beit HaStarim, which we're going to get to in a moment. So, Gzeira Shema Yotzia Vlad Rosho Chutz LaProzdor. We had exactly this case, by the way, a weird case in which a guy comes to Rava, it's Shabbos, and he was making a brit. You know, so he asks Rava, am I allowed to make a brit on Shabbos? Marla Mimo B'Shabbat, as the Rava looks at him, he's crazy. Yes, he says, yeah, sure. Shabbat dummy. After the guy walks out, Rava says, wait a minute, nobody's that crazy. Goes running after him and says, hold on a second. You better tell me the details. So then, Adar Amar Rava, the bus is enough. After the guy walks out, Rava says to himself, wait a minute. Everybody knows we make prism on Shabbos. The guy couldn't possibly be that dumb. So he goes chasing after him. Ozo Batre, and he says to him, tell me easy now. The entire story. So he says, well, it was a crazy story, you know. My wife was giving birth. It was Erev Shabbos a week ago. And I heard the baby cry. You know, and I thought, okay, I guess that the Vlad was born. I come into the room. Nope, there's no baby. I heard the baby cry. The baby's only born on Shabbos. I want to know if I can be a mile on Shabbos. So I hear the Vlad, the Tsuyats, they had Twitter in those days also. So the Vlad sent a tweet Tzuyatz. That's the modern word for tweeting, right? So I hear the Vlad, the Tzuyatz, Apanya, the Mala, the Shabbat. And the day is coming, you know. I mean, now it's two-year-olds, but why not, you know? So this was Erev Shabbos. And that Shabbat, and it didn't come out until Shabbos. Oi, says Rava. Whew, good thing I ran after you. This is a case where obviously Hotziro Shochutz the Prozdor, otherwise it couldn't possibly have cried, it wouldn't have been breathing. So obviously it was really delivered Erev Shabbos. And the din is, that I mean, there would be a Mila Shalob Izmana if you do Mila today. It's already on the ninth day. So then it's Mila Shalob Izmana, Mila Shalob Izmana, Imbachal and Alza Shabbos. It's the same case that Rav Hoshaya was pointing out, is the halacha where the fetus had died.
So why didn't he know that he could make a mishum?
Well, he didn't know whether just because he heard the baby cry. Yeah, he should have asked the Shaila earlier, Lemais. He boiled. So we asked a general question. But now we've seen that at least we've run into the issues of Beit HaStorim. But there's two questions. I mean, a tumor in the vagina, is that considered to be tumor belua, or is the problem that it's beta starim? There's a big difference, as we explained, between them. So otom makom shel isha, is that called belua, or is that called beta starim? Lamai nafkamina, total difference. Let's say her friend sticks a piece of nevela up her vagina, a very friendly woman, and talk alakha vertak zait nevela otom makom. Okay, now, if you're telling me that it's tumah belua, so then if it's tumah belua, it's not matame. If you're telling me that this is called belua, then tumah belua is not matame. If the problem is that there's no maga, because it's beit hastarim, that's all very nice that there's no maga, but that doesn't help us to deal with the issue of masa. So if she moves around with this beit hastarim, once she moves around, it's going to be matame because she's carrying it. And that's a different problem. So b'masa miyamatamya. So abaya amar balua havin, rav amar beta starim havin. There's a machloket. So according to abaya, it's tumah balua. According to rava, it's actually beta starim. Omar rava, well, I'm going to prove to you that it's beta starim and it's not tumah balua, and therefore she moves around. It'll be matamya b'masa. What's my raya? The braita. We're talking about the whole time about Rabbi Shimon and the rabbanim. They argued, right? So Rabbi Shimon said, so tell me, why did the Torah have to tell us the din of Isha Sherish Kavot et Isha Shikhvat Zorah that it's Matame? What's the Kiddush in that? Oh, there is a Kiddush. Because Shikhvat Zera in the vagina is Tumat Beit HaStorim. And it should not be Matame her. And therefore comes along the Torah Gzerat HaKatuv. Okay. So Elam Bibnesha Tumat Beit HaStorim is actually not betame, but notice that he uses the word beit hastarim. The tumat beit hastarim. He never said that it's considered to be tumah belua. And tumat beit hastarim lo metame l'shik zirat hakatuvi. That's my proof, says Rava. You see that the Tanoim use the word beit hastarim in reference to otomako. Rabbi, what kind of riot is that? You want to tell me it's Gzerat HaKatuv, right? So the way to explain it's Gzerat HaKatuv is to take the most obvious Gzerat HaKatuv. It could very well be. It's even Tumah Belua. You want to say, well, maybe it's because Tameh, because maybe it touched the outer part. That's not Tumah, fine, so it's Beit HaStorim. So you say, okay, fine, it's at least Beit HaStorim, isn't it? So why would it be Tameh? Therefore comes on return to say, I don't care. I don't care Belua, but the storm, I don't care about anything. It's Gzerat HaKatuv, Tash Mishamita, but Shechvat Zer is Matame, period. That's all. Well, you can't bring a riot when somebody says the most obvious thing. It doesn't mean that, yeah, I don't want to even get into it, is basically what Shimon is saying. So it says Chodavot, basically. He's just saying, look, I don't care what it is, whether it's Tumat Beit HaStorim or not. And therefore, it's the other way around. Let's just see that inside. First of all, I'm not even going to talk about the fact that it's Tumah Belua. Because even if it weren't Tumah Belua, it wouldn't be Matamar Shechvat Zera. I feel in Tim Salom, if for some reason you want to say it's only Tumat Beit HaStorim, it still wouldn't be Matamar. So why, just because she had intercourses at Matamar, Zerat HaKatufi, that's the Kiddush. Then, another question. We made this whole comparison of the din of the the nivas of tahor, we call that balua, nebet ablia. We compared it to the vagina. That's exactly what Rabbi Zeira just said. So the same question I had about whether we're talking about Beit HaSparim or we're talking about Tuma Blua, what's it about the place where the Nivlat of Tahor is Matami? Is that Mokum called Blua or is that Mokum called Beit HaSparim? My Nafkamina would be if somebody puts a piece of Nevela into that place, Matoch Piv. So if it's Tuma Blua, then even if the guy walks around with this Nivlas Behema, not Nivlas Ov, walks around with this Nivlas Behema in that place, it's not going to be Matame. But if it's considered to be Beit HaSparim, so then, even though it's not Matame B'maga, but the moment that he carries it, it's Matame B'masa. And therefore, even though there's no Maga, he'll still be Tame. B'masa me Matame. So there too we have a Machlokat, Abaya Amar Blu'a, and Rav Amar Beit HaSparim says Abaye, okay, I'm going to prove it. Minah minala the Tanya. Yachotei nivlat beima betame beganam beit hamlim. You might think that even a beima, not only a nivlat of tahor, but even a nivlat beima is metame beganam beit hamlim. Talmud lomar. Therefore, says the pasuk in the context of ofot tahorim, nivela utreifa lo yochal tama ba ani asher. Why does the Torah say lo yochal? It's to tell me only that type of thing that has no tumah b'chutz. Yotzta zo, but a behema that has tumah b'maga or tumah b'masa before you come to eat it. That is not b'tameh b'beit ablia. I understand, but it's saying even. Why saying only? Learn out of a kal v'chomer from nivlat of tahor, of a nivlat of tahor which doesn't have any tumah b'chutz, nonetheless has tumah b'fnim. Kol shekein zo sheyesh la tumah b'chutz, in odin sheyesh la tumah b'fnim. No, you're missing the point. The Torah says letam abba. Ba means dafka in this, and only this case is metame, but not anything else. But that's funny, because when it comes to the sugya of nivlat beima, it says something weird. It says, v'ha ochel mi nivlata yechabes begadav v'ter adarev. It says, beferish, if you eat, you're tame. So you see that there is a tumah of eating on a nevela, of a beima. How do you explain that? Pasuk v'ochel. No, that's liting shi'ur. L'noger, l'nosei. How much do you have to be touching, or how much do you have to be carrying in order to become tome, b'magor, b'masa, of nevela? The shear is like eating, but not that eating is metame. Eating is osir, but it's not metame. So just like ochel is b'kizayit, af nogev and osir is b'kizayit. Therefore, aitaina, that it's clearly not considered to be anything, it's not metame at all. Omar Rava, look, let me tell you, you want to get the halakas clear? You're carrying a sheretz in a body fold. Let's say you put a sheretz in your underarm. You're carrying the sheretz around. The din over there is that you are tahor. Why? Because the sheretz is only mitam b'maga, and your underarm is beit hasdarim. Well, obviously. I mean, it's a pet. You wouldn't want a live sheretz as a pet.
A lizard.
But a nevela bekumto, if you're carrying around a kezias of nevela in your underarm, you're tummy. Because the sheretz bekumto your Torah, because the sheretz is only matami benegia, not b'mask. And tum and benegia and matami beit hasdarim is not a mokum of negia. So there's no way it was negia in you. Lav bar maga. But a nevela is matami bekumto. Why? Because although b'magalo metame, it's true your underarm cannot be metame b'maga, but it can be metame b'masa. And an avail is metame b'masa. B'masa mi metame. How about if you're carrying around your dead pet lizard in your underarm, and you bend down and put it into the top of a tanur, and while you're getting out the bread, but it's safely tucked away in your underarm. Wouldn't want to leave your pet in the tanur, would you? So the din is that the tanur is tameh. What? Avi, why wouldn't it be pita? Wouldn't it? No, because I'll tell you. Suppose you put your pet dead lizard into a container, and you put the container into the tanur, and the top of the container was sticking out of the tanur, then the din would be that the tanur would not be tamei from the dead lizard. Why? Because it says tocho. It's dafka, something that came with tocho, but over here didn't come with tocho. So I might think that maybe that's true of your underarm. Ma de tema, tocho amarachmana, velo toch tocho, that inside something which is inside the tanur. Therefore, kamashron, that your underarm is not considered to be a toch of something else. Furthermore, Amarish Lakh, let me tell you another fascinating distinction. Okay? A Zav has a fishing rod under his arm. And he goes and he moves something to her with the end of that fishing rod. Okay? And he's Masik the Tahar. So the din is that that Tahar remains Tahar. But suppose someone who's Tahar has a fishing rod under his arm and he pushes the Zav with it. Then the din is that he's Tameh. Why? My time. Because what we're dealing with over here is two completely different dinim of Tumah. Okay? One din of Tumah is a tremendous chiddush. The din of Tumas Masa, that appears all over Tumas Masa. But there's a new din called Heset Hazav. Masa means I carry the thing which is Tameh. But Heset Hazav means the thing that is Tameh carries me. Now this knows or pushes me, moves me in some way. That's called Heset Hazav. There's nothing similar in Kol HaTorah Kula. So that special halacha is brought out by using the word yadayim. And not only yadayim, but by using the word maga yadayim. So there it says, v'chol asher yigabo hazav, v'yadav lo shataf b'mayim. Whatever the zav will touch, and it can't mean literally touch, because it says beferish in a different pasuk, hanogea v'psar hazav estamei. But what this pasuk is referring to is something that a zav will move, which is called this new halacha called tumat heset. This tumah, zeh seter shazav shlomatzino tumah b'chol haTorah kula. There is no similar tumah anywhere in the Torah. It's a mirror image, almost, not exactly, of tumat mas, in which the poor person who's tar carries the person who's tar. Now this lomatzino is something like it. But notice that the Torah calls it chol asher yiga. Why is it called asher yiga? We're talking about a fishing pole. So how was a yiga? The reason the Torah calls it Kol Asher Yigah is to teach me a din about both Maga and Hesed. And that's that strange business about Yadav Lo Shataf B'mayim. What is that supposed to mean? It means he didn't go to the mikveh. What does that have to do with his hands? L'maisa, we have a remez over here to Netilat Yadayim. We use it for that. But obviously, when you're right, there's no such thing as Yadayim being Tameh. The rest of you being Torah. So why is the Torah compared to Yadayim? To teach me that both Tumat Maga and Tumat Masa only work with things like your hands. Your hands are always exposed, they're open, closed, and so on. And therefore, they're not Beit HaStarim. But the same situation with your underarm. If you'd be holding the fishing pole, yes, it's Yadav. But you put the fishing pole under your arm, then it's not Matame. Even, obviously it's Maga, but it's not Matame as Hesed. Because Hesed is here given the same halacha. That's the pshat. And therefore, after one of the negia, remember the hesed v'negia miyadav ma'ata miavroi, just like your hands are something that's exposed, afacha miavroi, b'she'en king, when it's the other way around, that you are the tar, and now you're being masa the other direction. You're the one who's carrying. So then, that's nothing to do with maga, and it's not a din that requires something that's begodli.
Then it's masa.
It's the equivalent of masa, where a tar is meisit the tazav. Boy, minei Rav Shmuel bar Pesach meyabai. Poleta chichvat zera. Is she called a ro ahavya or no gaat havya? Nafkemina. Well, first of all, it's tar. Secondly, letamei b'mashem. third, the Tamei B'fnei Kabachutz. Wait a minute. Rav Shmuel Bar Mitzvah, Man of Shem, Ish Mi Alei Matni Tach, it's saying that he knows the answer. The answer being Rabban Ro'a, Rav Shimon Nogat. Biloshmi Alabat Nita, where would he ever come up with the crazy idea that she's a Ro'ah? It's only reasonable that she's a Nogat. Golem Shmi Alei Matnita. And I'll leave it, Rabban Elokim Mibarle, they say, before she's a Ro'ah. Kika Mibarle, leave it to Rabbi Shimon. And the time, Bifnim Kabakwitz, I wasn't asking because I know that he said, Daya Kibo'ala. Kika Mibarle, Listor Ulatame Bakol Shumai. Do we say that Kikam Rabbi Shimon Daya Kabo'ala, that's Tafka Lagabi the Din of Litmuya Bifnim Kabakwitz? Ava Listor Ulatame Bakol Shur, she's called a Raya. Aldilma Loshna. Ikani Amir Leolam Loshmi Ale Matnita. Vahikami Boyle. Miriach Mirach Manabale Karian Besinai Ro'ahavia. Aldilma Logam in a Misinai, because Sinai is a total Kiddush. Because Zavin and Mitzrayim are normally more chomer, and yet Loach Bavur Rabbanu, Rachmana, Amalei Royahavi came to Rava, Amalei Royahavi came to Rabbi Yosef, Amalei Royahavi. Then he came back to Abai and he said, "What's with you guys? Kulcha Baruka Chodat Afitu, Amalei? No, no, no. People are speaking. You're very intelligent. It's you who aren't listening." Shapra Amalechad Kan Lokam Rabbi Shimon. Daya kevo Allah. That's the gabi. The time of bifnim kebachutz. Abalistor. The time of bechoshu. She is daya kevo Allah. And indeed, she's a raya. Tana rabbanan anit aveazavah v'shamer yom keneged yom vayoled kulan metama bifnim kebachutz. Now look, ishlama kulu. Okay, very nice. Chai vayoledet. Well, how is yoledet a new category? Ibi mei nida nida. Ibi mei ziva ziva. Ah, natsricha, she ardalik fall from her yamei tuma to yamei tara. Ki odi amra vizera, kibasha marav. Yoledet she ardalik fall mituma na tara, v'nekar mi min adam. Biri dat mei, ah, baliyat Torah. Omle viyumil vizera. I understand, but I understand why the dam is tummy. But why is the woman tummy? Biri dat mei tummy, ah. It's Tuma Blu Ahi. Omale, I already explained this to Rabavi. In the Asbin, Yalev, Karkish Liberation, in the Beis HaMedrash. So, okay, Ozo Shaila. Omale, well, Rabbi Zeir explained to me that it's because Asuak and Ivlas of Tor, Mtamagan Rebet Abliya. So he said, what? Midami. Hartam ain't la tuma bachutz at all. No, of course, that's what it's referring to. It's only kishiyatzu lachutz. What? If it's kishiyatzu lachutz, what's a chiddush? Because ma the tema, it should be basically, miga the mahami tefila ladam, dika gavoy in the rechem, tani nami lahai, which is in the prosdor, kamash malan. Okay, fine. So now you've explained the discussion over here, but now my original question stands. So back to my question. No! There's no doubt. So then what the time do you think of what we're talking about? And that's why we're Metami, the midwife, but to my space if the fetus was dead. Okay, who the other came to the Rava? Amalei, is it mutter to be more of a Shabbat? Amalei, sure. After he goes out, I'm Rava, wait a minute. Saka Dakta, who got us such an idiot? That lo yada, the share of the meal of a Shabbat. Also, wait, tell me easy. Well, what happened was that Erev Shabbos, Shemata Vlad Tziat, a Pandit of Mala Shabbata, but he wasn't born until Shabbata. That's the case, what's your Rosh supposed to do? And then it would be Mila Shalom Izmana, because he was really born on Erev Shabbos. Call Mila Shalom Izmana, and Mechalin Alata Shabbat. Otoma Kom Shalisha. Is it Balua or is it Beit HaStori? L'may Nafkamina. Kigon Shetachvala, her friendly neighbor, a kezait nevela b'oto makom. Si yamet Balua havi, Tuma Balua lo metami. I yamet Beit HaStori havi, ni demaga lo metami, but b'masim yamet tamya. Abai Omar Balua Abi Rav Omar Betastorim Abi. Omar Rav, I'll prove it to you that it's Betastorim. Because look back at that brighter. Ela mimnesh tumat betastorimi vetumat betastorim lo metama. Ela shigzerat akatuvi. Says Abai, that you call a raya. All Rabbi Shimon is saying is Chareva Oidkama. First of all, in reality, it's Tuma Balua. But even if you want to say that maybe it touched her Mok Betastorim, so fine, it's still Tuma Betastorim. It's not Matame. Elashik Zerata Katuvi. Tell me, ask you the same question about the Mokum of Bliya by the Nivlat of Tohar. Is that called Tuma Balua or Tuma Betastorim? Now, if Kamina would be, when his friendly neighbor was tochev lo kezayit nevela v'vehema l'toch piv, siyam b'lua avi tuma b'lua is not matami. If you're going to say that it's a beta storim, maybe it's not matami b'ma'ana, but it's still going to be matami b'masimi matami. Abai omar b'lua avi rav omar beta storim av. Omar Abai, I'll prove it to you. We know amin halom, the Tanya. Yo choteini vlat beima mitam abigadima beta bliara tamud lomar nevela betrefala yochala tamava mi sheno tuma lachila ta yatzur mitam kodim shiochlena. Wait a minute, so why? Why make a kal v'chomer? God min nivlat of tohor, nivlat of tohor that has no tuma b'chutz. Nonetheless, Ter said it's mitami b'fnim. Sikoshike nivlat beima sheyesh la tuma b'chutz. Eino din sheyesh la tuma b'fnim. Now the point is that the pasuk says the tama ba velo ba acheret. Sim kein ma tamud lomar by nivlas behema. Why does it say va'ochel yamin nivlat ayachabes begadav? That's litain shiur lenogev lenosay, like the shear of the ochel. Just like the ochel is a shear v'kizayin, af nogev lenosay v'kizayin. Amar Rava sheretz b'mekomo bekumto is tohor. Nevela bekumto is tomei. Why? Sheretz bekumto tohor because sheretz is only metame benegia and beza storim la bar maga. But nevela bekumto is tomei because einoch inami is not metame b'maga, but b'masa mi metamia. Sheretz bekumto v'chniso la'avir tanur. The tanur is still tomei. Pshita. It's not pshita because ma'at tamei the Torah said tocho. I'm going to die. Kol asher yipol tocho, but not toch tocho. This is not called Toch Tocho. Amr Shlokish Kanebe Kupto Shel Zav, and the Zav is Mesi Kla Tahor. The Tahor is Tahor. But if the Kanez Bekupto Shel Tahor, and the Tahor is Mesi Kla Tahor, then is Tameh. Why? The Omar Kra, the whole Mekor of Heset HaZav, is from the Chola Sheyigabo HaZav, the Adav Lo Shatav Bamayim, and it can't possibly literally mean Maga, because it says Beferish, HaNogea B'Sar HaZav. So therefore, this has got to be referred to as Heset HaZav, which is a tremendous Kiddush Shel Matzino Lo Tumah B'Chola Tarakul. And yet, the Torah compares it by calling it Yiga to Maga, right? And then it compares both of them to Yadayim, to tell me that Hesed and the Yiga have to be Kiyadav, just like Yadav are exposed, Me'avroi, Afalka Me'avroi.
That was the daf from the 12th cycle of the International Daf Yomi. Hold on, and you shall hear the same daf from the cycle 7.5 years ago, cycle number 11. I was so involved in turning on this new device. All right, let's try that again. Okay, so just in case the new device doesn't work. So here we're on Daf Mem Beis and Nida. We just finished the Machlokes for the Chachomim and the Tanakam with Rabbi Shimon about whether a Poleta Sheikh Wazera is Matame even when it's a Dayan Bibsara. According to Rabbi Shimon, we say Daya Kabo Allah, she can't be more Tameya than he is. That brought us, agav, into the question of how it's possible for someone who was mishameshet to be mit taheret and then only to have to worry about the poletet, because we couldn't really come up with a reasonable case other than artificial insemination. But obviously the normal case would be that she needed to have had intercourse in order to get the shechwazer inside of her, and therefore she would have been tomato. So we figured out the case, just talking about whether she was tavelas and amita, and so on. Now, we got up to basically one-fifth of the way down,
Up to Boy Minei Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna Miabaye. So Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna asked Abaye what the din would be about a Poleta Sheikh Vazera. Is a Poleta Sheikh Vazera the equivalent of a Ro'ah? Or is she the equivalent of an Ogat? Did she touch it or did she see it? Naftamina, of course, tremendous Naftaminas. I mean, Naftamina would be, first of all, if it's Re'iyah, then it will be Soter, the Shivas Nekiyah. If it's just touching something, I mean, it's no different touching anything else it's tummy, it's certainly not going to be Soter Shivas Nekiyah. Furthermore, if it's a Nogea, then there may be a Shear, because there's always a Shear to a Maga, but there's no Shear to a Roa, like we said in the Mishnah, any little tiny bit is Matami a Roa. And the other Nafkimina will be, where will she become Tumeyah? Will she become Tumeyah as a Nogea, then it can't be in the Beit HaStarim, it can't be in the place it's normally covered. It would only be once it's outside. Hashem, if it's a Ro'ah, then it would be Ro'ah even Bifnim Kabachutz. Says the Gemara, what's with this question over here? I mean, Mamanavshah. Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna is asking Abaye something which either he knew the Braisa that we just quoted with the Machlokas Rabbi Shimon and Rabbanim, or he didn't. I mean, if he knew that Braisa, so if he knew this Braita, so then the answer is very simple. According to the Rabbanim, who say that she's Matame Ima Bifnim, obviously they're all she's a Ro'ah, because they learned it out from the Pasuk of Yiyeh. So Zobah Bifsarah Yiyeh teach me that even a woman who's Polet to Shechvazera is a Ro'ah, the equivalent of a Ro'ah Shechvazera. So that strangely enough, even though she got the Shechvazera from a man, and it wouldn't be Matame him, if it was inside his body, but what she gets, if she's Poleta, it's as if she's Ro'ah, and it's no different than Dam and Zivis. And according to Rabbi Shimon, obviously it's no God, because he said, well, I mean, how could it be more Tamei than the Bo'ah? So, what was he asking? And if he didn't hear this Mishnah, who in his right mind would ever have thought, all on his own, that a woman whose Poleta Sheikh Vazera could possibly be a Ro'ah? I mean, it's absurd. It's only because they had the Pasuk of Yiyeh to teach me. If he never heard that Braita, he never heard that Pasuk. If he never heard that Pasuk, how would anybody in his right mind think that a Poleta Sheikh Vazera should have a din of a Ro'ah? It's too ridiculous for words. So let's see that inside. B'monavshach, Ishmael Matnita. Look, if he knows about this Braita, so then he knows the answer. The Rabbanu Ro'ah, the Rebbe Shimon Ogat. V'lo Shmiel Matnita. If he never heard the Braita, then wouldn't he think on his own, Mistava, that she's an Ogat? So Gemara Me'olam Shmiel Matnita. He knew the Braita. He wasn't even asking. According to Rabbanu, obviously, he says, look, the Rabbanu say that she's a Ro'ah, because she said that she's Batama, Bifinki Bachutz. What I'm asking is, I'll leave it to Rebbe Shimon. And even according to Rebbe Shimon, I mean, I understand that he learns out from the fact that she can't be worse than Bo'alah, then that she's not going to be Matame B'Fnim Kamachutz. Okay? So that I'm not thinking about. The Tame B'Fnim Kamachutz Lo Kami Bo'alah. But what I'm asking is, when Rabbi Shimon rejects the Tanakhama because of his saying that she can't be worse than the Bo'el, all that that deals with, the only issue that that deals with, is this one question. Is it Matame B'Fnim Kamachutz? But as far as whether it would have a din of a Ro'ah in terms of stira, or in terms of being Matame Kosher, I mean, over there, even if he insists that she's no different than the Bo'el, I mean, it's going to be Seisar, so it's also the Bo'el's Shivas Nekiyim, right? And it's certainly Matame Kosher, if you hold like those Shittas, I mean, as Tosis points out, we have Shittas before that hold that even a roya like of Shif Vazera carries on the Mitame with the shear. There was no discussion we had earlier, but if you hold that as a roya, there's no shear, so she wouldn't have a shear either. I mean, but Rabbi Shimon's argument didn't extend beyond the question of being Mitame with the Tinka Bachutz. So that's what I'm asking. So do we say that basically Rabbi Shimon agrees that in terms of other halachas, Tira, Tanim, Koshu, she's still considered to be Ro'ah? Is he saying, basically, look, I really think this is absurd, and since she got the Sheikh Vazera from somebody, how could she be a Ro'ah of a liquid that's not part of her own body? Who ever heard of such a thing as a Ro'ah? That's one approach. Now, Igri Amru, Why are you hiding all the way back there?
I don't know. Moshe Rabbeinu gave me permission to sit here.
Yeah, I know, but we can't get the benefit of seeing you. That's very meaningful to be able to see you. That's much better, yes. Yeah, good. Now I feel I'm talking to you. Now, Ikidiyami, there's another approach to answering how Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna could have asked this question. Either he knew the rights or he didn't. Actually, maybe he did not know the price. Where did he get the idea? How could he possibly have come up with the idea that should be a ro'ah, since it seems absolutely absurd by any standards? So where did he come up with this idea? Says this text, he came up with the idea by himself. He did not hear this, right? Do we say that since the Torah has this strange halacha of being makbid on women who are polotot shechva zera at Har Sinai? Certainly the Torah is not makbid on tuma, right? Same with makbid on other tumas. Even when they're yotzei begufam, the Torah is not makbid on tumas. There's no problem with nidas, zivas, sarah, so on and so forth. Oh, so what are we going to say? That if she has a din of a no god, the Torah is going to be makbid on a woman who touched shechva zera? It sounds crazy. I can understand if this is something to do with an actual re'iyah. Okay, so the Torah is makbid on re'iyah. So do we say, mirach merachmana balikari v'sinai ro'ahavi, odim alo gamrinon yiseni, or it may be that the obsession with shechva zera at Sinai cannot be used to prove anything. Because even other re'iyahs, the Torah is not makbid, right? Because the whole thing is a chiddush. The Torah is not makbid on zog. The Torah is not makbid on mitzoroi. And they're much more chomer than shechva zera. The loach mubara rachmana, correct? So in other words, the Torah has something against keri, specifically. Which we spoke about in today's chumash here. The Torah has something against keri at Har Sinai. And therefore you can't use it to prove that it's because she's a roa. Maybe enochin ami. Even though she has a din of a no god, there's a unique hakpada on Tumas Keri, even maybe man on Har Sinai. You can't learn out from Har Sinai anything. Omarlei, so Abaya said to him, okay, you want your answer? Or, I mean, we're going to keep about this, talking about this forever. Then she's a roa, okay? And he didn't like that answer so much. The Aruch Lamer understands that the reason that the Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna kept going around asking this is because nobody was telling him specifically Alibi de Rabbi Shimon. In other words, the Gemara made this analysis, okay? He just asked, what's the din? He expected that the person who would ask him would say, well, Alibi de Rabbanu is definitely a Rabbi Shimon. No, he made it according to Rabbi Shimon. It's also Raya. They just said Raya. Like, they have no patience to hear him out. Raya. Okay, so he goes and he asks Rabbi. So Rabbi says the same thing. Look, she's a right. And then he goes and he asks Rabbi Yose. Rabbi Yose says the same thing. She's a raya. And he's really getting frustrated with this. So he goes back to Abaya, who he first asked. He says, you know, kucho baruka chana tafiso, y'all spit the same way. I can't get any from it. Everybody's saying the same thing. I mean, like, what is this? You all heard, like, one halakha that you were makabel, poleta shechva zera is a roya. I want a little bit of detail here. This is the Aruch Lamer's approach to this again. Amalei, to which Abaya answered him, don't you understand? Everybody's answering you. Believe me, they understand that your question is Alibi de Rabbi Shimon. You're not talking to idiots. They're answering you Alibi de Rabbi Shimon, chakra amilacha. Because Akam Mokomer Rabbi Shimon Dayaka Bo'ala. Look, what did Rabbi Shimon say? He argued with Rabbanan in terms of what? Did he say to them, nonsense, how could a nogat be tamei b'beis hashtarim? That's not what he said. He said, daya kabayala. What's that, daya kabayala? In other words, even though, and accept your argument, fine, special halacha for lepet shikvazera. But is that going to be more than a man who's pelet shikvazera? That's all he's fighting on. That is legabe letame b'tnim kabachutz. That's the only thing that argument addresses. But even if she is kabayala in terms of everything else, listor, but b'tame b'chol shehu, there she's considered to be a raya. He had no objection to that. So we were answering you. I'll leave it to Shimon. Don't get so frustrated. We gave you a straight answer. That's the answer. Everybody's telling you what the answer is. What's your problem? Turn around. Hanida v'hazavam v'hashomeret yom keneged yom v'hayoledet kulam v'tambot v'tzim kevachos. Okay. Everything sounds good except for the last part. Bishlam Akulu, I mean, yeah, we had all of that. Nida, Zava, Shemeres, Yom, Kineged, Yom, that's all great. L'chayim, fine. Toast, take a toast to that. There's no problem. But Yoledes, what is a Yoledes? What are you talking about? There's no new din of a Yoledes. I mean, Yoledes, if the Dam is Bimei Nida, then she's a Yoledes as a Nida. If it's Bimei Zivais, then she's a Yoledes as a Zo. So it's already included under the previous rubrics. I mean, what are you introducing now with the Yoledes? No, says the mother. Case is clearly, Lo Tzricha, Shiyadah Li Tefol Mitu Malat Ha'arah. Talking about is, Aliba de Beis Hillel, which is how we paskin, the only way that a woman can start her Yemei Tahara, to have Dam Tohar, is going to make this. I didn't have to wait the 7 days or the 14 days, right? That was my focus we had earlier between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Fine, says Beit Hillel she's going to make it. She goes to the mikveh. Now the question is, she's going into the mikveh. The nekar mimena dam, and now some blood is left now inside. In other words, it's gone out of the womb, and now it's inside the Beit HaChitzon. So it's somewhere in the vagina, somewhere in the prosdor. So now the question is like this. Even though she goes to the mikveh, she still is tamea. We're going to explain this. It doesn't seem to make sense. But if she bleeds on the way out of the mikveh, then she's tahor. She already went to the mikveh. The mikveh is a betayer, all the dam that's inside of her. And at this point, any dam that comes out is dam tahor. Correct? The Torah decided this dam is tahor. What do you mean, you know that?
I didn't realize. It was dam inside of her.
Right. Well, why not? I understand. When does it change? I
understand. She went coming out. For which two
But it didn't come out until she went to the mikveh. Anything after it goes to the mikveh was dam tahor.
But for which 2 months did she go?
Yoledes.
At
the end of the 7 days, the end of the 14 days, she goes to the mikveh. And now if she bleeds on the way out of the mikveh, so what? It's like bleeding tomorrow. I mean, any blood that she would bleed was tahor. Yeah? The part that doesn't make sense is the first part. If there was blood, I mean, let's say, fine, there's blood. But, I mean, she already became a roa from this blood. Now she went to the mikveh. You're saying, but the blood is still inside of her. It's somewhere in her vagina. So? So what are you saying? The blood should be matamir? In her vagina, it should be matamir? It's too much space of sternum. And even if it's matamir, so matamir like what? With maga? What kind of tumor?
She's tumea.
What?
She's tumea anyway before she took those.
But now, yes, but now, even though she went to the mikveh, she it says tumea, it remains tumea.
Well,
so how does it remain tumea?
The blood's tumea. Yes, sir.
What? It says tumea.
She had done. What is she had done? After she's in the water, what is she had done?
She's going down into the mikveh. The blood leaves the cervix.
While she's going down.
Yeah, well, she's in the middle. Remember, she's only tovelis after the blood has already left her. So that means that it's out of the cervix. So now it's not going to become Torah's dam tohar. Fine, but she's tahora. So how did she become tamea from this blood that is sitting there? So what difference does it make? The blood is sitting there. Omle Rabbi Yemila Rabbi Zera, I don't get it. Why is she Tamea? Be a Ridamai Tamea. What are you saying? Tuma Beluahi. I mean, you can't be Matami somebody inside their body and the vagina is Belua and it's not Matami. Oh, my lady, Zeal Shine Leila Rebbe, Yavin, the Asbrit Niale. You know what? Look, right now I don't have time. Go ask for Bobbin. I explained it to him, and then Karkish Liberation Bay Madrash, and right there in the Beit HaMedrash, he gave me a big shake of the head, like, yes, indeed. I think that's great. Okay, so he went to ask Rabbin. Also Shiloh. Amalei Rabbin said to him, well, truth is it's Xerud Rabbanim. They decided to make this case similar to the case of Nivlat of Tahor. Shemetam Begadim Beit HaBliyah. We know the general rule is that the Chachamim do not create new scenarios. As they never leave the overall framework of the Halacha. They just will include new cases within an existing framework. It will not create a new tumor. The problem over here, as Tosfos explains, we have a unique situation here. Unique, because this is a little bit crazy. This woman, if the blood was within the cervix, the same blood that would come out 30 seconds later would be tar. Right? Mm-hmm. So now there's blood out of the cervix. It was 30 seconds early. That's tummy. So people are easily going to make the mistake of thinking that, I mean, the same way it's matire that blood, it's matire this blood. I mean, it's mm-hmm. blood inside. So Mamela, in order to have a situation that it won't come to this mistake, the Chachamim said, look, even dam inside of her, we do have one case in Kol HaTaira Kula where you can become tamei when something is in a mokum balua, by definition. Because when you swallow, which is belia, you swallow a nivlas of tahor, that's the only way that you can become tamek. Right? So we made her the equivalent of that case because of this gezer. Strange. Okay, but this is the only explanation I came up with. That's the Gemara. You dummy, I mean, I understand it. You're not sticking to a framework by making it similar to nivlas of tahor. Because, I mean, look, telling me that the Torah was matame someone who swallows nivlas of tahor. Okay. But that's because that is the mode of being matame. I mean, in this case, over here, the fact is when it comes out, it will be tame, right? That everybody agrees. It's not going to be matame her as a nida, as a yoleda, as a zoba. It'll be metamir, someone who came in touch with a product of Anita and Azava, and now is Tamea from eating Tyrus. Not that she becomes Tamea for her husband or anything like that. She's Tame the same way you would be Tame if you would come in contact with such blood, right? So, I mean, I don't understand what you're saying. You're saying we'll make a Gnivlas of Tom. I mean, over here, the product is metame when it comes out. So let it be metame when it comes out. But you're telling me, it's like the Nivlas of Tahor, which is only Metame when it's inside. I mean, they have no resemblance. It's absurd. Let it be Metame when it came out. Well, you're right. I give up. It did come out. It means it came out. So what's the chiddush? I understand. It's by Lameimah. What are you saying? Blood that came out before she goes down to the mikveh. She goes to the mikveh, and now that blood comes out to the outside of her body. It's matamei her. Thank you very much. I just said, what, am I an idiot? I need you to teach me that. Obviously, why would not be matamei her? In my lameimra, no, the chiddush is like this, that ma'o detaino, look, I could have made the mistake of thinking that migu the behind you tefillah the dam dika gavur. If the tefillah helps for the blood that is inside, behind the cervix, so maybe Taminayim Elahai, maybe in terms of what the tefillah affects, maybe the tefillah affects blood which is still in her body. What's the difference whether it's in her womb or it's in the prosdor? I mean, it hasn't exited the body yet. You're telling me, Lagabi Ro'a, there's a special halacha that she's tummy even b'fnim. Fine, okay, we're handling that. She's going to the mikvah. But maybe the mikvah is matayah products of dam for yoledes, the same way it's matayah the products of dam in her womb. I mean, I don't know. Okay, so you want to teach me that the tefillah between the yemei tumah of yoledes and yemei tor of yoledes, you want to tell me it's only matayah the dam that's in her womb. Okay, well, that's a valid point. So, okay, I accept that. Fine. So Shmait Kamashpala. So okay, fine. So Shmait Nifrik. Okay, so you explained to me the what appeared to me to be a meaningless discussion about blood that comes out before and after, fine. But now we no longer have the tariffs that we had. Remember how we got into this whole thing. We got into this whole thing by asking, what you mean by telling me that a Yoledes, the din of a Yoledes is that the Yoledes is Metame Bifnim Kebachutz. Either she's a Zava or she's a Nida. What else? Where is the Yoledes unique? So you came up with a case that Yoledes is unique in this case where the Dam came out from before, she went to the Mikvah. Now you're having Charot, and now you're saying, you know what, you're right, forget it. So it's not Tame Bifnim. So then the fine, so now I understand what you said about the blood coming out of the way to Mikvah, but now I have the question I had before. So now explain to me that Brisa. Why did the Brisa mention Yoledes together with the Zava and Anita? There's no unique status of a Yoledes in Bifnim Kibachutz. Either she's bleeding as a Anita or she's bleeding as a Zava. So I don't get it. Says the Gemara, you don't understand. She's not bleeding. She's not bleeding. We're not talking about a woman who's bleeding. Lady Yavishta. Oh man, now I really don't understand. She's not bleeding, so what is being Matami Bifnim Kibachutz? No, you don't understand. It's true, it was a little misleading, this Mishnah. But the first part was talking about blood, and the second part was talking about the baby. Bifnim Kibachutz is talking about where the baby's head is. That's the question. So it was a bit confusing. Now, what happened over here is, Gagon Shotzi Vladro Shochutz Leprozdor. What happened over here is that the child's head had emerged now outside of the Prozdor. And remember the story we had, according to Rabbi Oshia, remember the Maisa was a woman whose fetus had died in utero, and the doctor had put in her hands in order to remove the fetus. So it said over there, we have a gezerah that she's tummy mace. The Gemara says, well, why is she tummy mace? I mean, the tuma balua. Let me first give you, by the way, a little bit of a background to remind you. There are two separate statuses. Beit HaStarim is one issue. Beit HaStarim is a question of being makabel tuma bimaga. In order to be makabel tuma, when something is touched, what is touched needs to be exposed. If it's normally not exposed, then it's not going to be the time of bimaga. So for that matter, your underarms wouldn't be makabel tuma. You're holding something tame under that. It's normally not exposed. That's called beit hastarim. Right? However, obviously, something that is metame b'masa, let's say, doesn't require maga, you could carry it under your arms and become tame. There's another thing, which is called tum'ah b'lu'ah. Tum'ah b'lu'ah is where the thing which is tame is actually inside the body, not just hidden in an outside area, it's in the body. It was swallowed, let's say. Or it's a dead body in utero, for instance, right? The din over there is that the thing is not tame, period, when it's balua. So let's say you had a ring together with an avela in a stomach. The ring wouldn't become tame. Right. So the question is, so why is the doctor tamea if she touches a fetus when the fetus is in the uterus? Because the fetus in the uterus will not be metami, it's balua. Says Rav Oshia, it's a gezera, because the doctor may not have noticed that the head was already out in the prozdor, and in contact, at that point, she was in contact with the dead body. So we made a takana, fine. But meanwhile, you see that there is, in fact, tuma, which is not called anymore tuma balua, once it sticks its head out. And now, it's going to be metami, bifnim kibachutz, and that's the point that we're making, is bifnim kibachutz. Gagon shalchi vladro shalchutz apros, dorik rabosha, dam rabosha, gezera, that case of the doctor, bim tomi, yeshem yotzi vladro shalchutz apros, dorik. Okay. Now, there was actually a maisa like this. Yehudi also came to Rava. A guy comes to Rava, comes in and asks him a shayel. He says, can I give a bris on Shabbos? So Rava says, yeah, sure, why not? I mean, I shepherd on me. The guy goes out of the door. Rava says, what? Wait a minute. Something must be weird. What do you mean? The guy never heard of you make a bris on Shabbos? He probably didn't give me the details of the case. The Rava goes running after. Okay. So the bus is enough. After he goes out, he says to him, what's up? But there's somebody in the world who doesn't know that we do bris on Shabbos? Something's wrong. So he goes chasing after him. Also, Basman. All my life, he says to him, Emily, easy, goo for the woo day. So have a listen, man. Say it to the easy like. Exactly what happened. Oh, glad you asked, actually. Shemiyat Vlad Tsuyat Zapani Damali Shabbat. You know what? I hear the cry of a baby right before Shabbos. And then she delivers this baby on Shabbos. Amazing thing. But I heard the cry before Shabbos. V'lo yamidat Shabbat. Oh, my lace, Rabbi says, well, if you heard a cry, then obviously he wasn't crying inside the uterus. So he must have been Motzi Rosh Chutz L'Prozdor. In which case, once he was Motzi Rosh Chutz L'Prozdor, he has a din of Yovud. Mm-hmm. So he was actually born Erev Shabbos.
This is quite a baby.
The baby.
No, this is quite a baby.
This is quite a baby.
Baby doesn't cry until they're
totally out. No, some of them do. There have been shaylas through the generations, by the way, of this kind of thing. Yeah. So, therefore, you should have given the bris yesterday, on Friday. Now, on Shabbat, it's a mila shelo bizmana. The whole mila shelo bizmana. Ein mechal on Shabbat. You can't give the bris on Shabbat. Whew, good thing I chased after this guy. Now, the shayla is like this. Oto makom, by the way, oto makom shel isha. Blue Ahavin or Beta Starim Hab. Now the question is, and the Minchas Chinuch explains we're talking about now, obviously there's different areas, right? Because we call Oto Makom. Oto Makom extends from what we call the prosdor, from behind the lobby, all the way up to the cervix, is all Oto Makom. He says, we're talking about the chelek that's all the way inside. It's right outside of the cervix. Is that considered to be Balua? Or is that a Beta Starim? That's my question. So nafkamina would be, oh, beit asterim ha. Lamai nafkamina. Kagon. Well, for instance, kagon shetar for a chaver to gezayit nevela b'otom makom. Let's say she has a really good friend who takes a gezayit in the veil and sticks it up. So now iamrik balua having if this is balua, toma balua lo matamin, and she is that she never touched it. She never came in contact with this nevela because certainly it was based on starim all the way, right? So that's not the issue. The E Amrit, Beta Storim Havi. So, is E Amrit Blue Havi, Tuma Blue Lamatam? E Amrit Beta Storim Havi, if you're telling me it's only Beta Storim, it's not considered to be so deep in the body that it's actually Balua inside of her, then the Hida Bimaga Lamatam, it's all very nice to say, it was not Matami her in touching, but Bimasa Mia Matami. As she moves, she's moving this nevela, she's carrying this nevela with her, right? Okay, so if she's carrying the nevela around with her, then she's going to become Tamea, unless, of course, the nevela is no longer Matama, because it's Balua inside of her. That's the Nafkamina. There's no Nafkamina Lagabi Tumat Manga. Okay, very clear? Everybody? Everybody understand?
Good. Can
Tumas
Masa is not by Inner
Basis Star? Tumas Masa is anywhere. It's like carrying something in your underarm.
If it's Balua, not.
If it's Balua, then it's not in the veil anymore. It's not Matana. By the way, there are quite a few.
Okay. Even if it's from an outside source going into a Balua place.
It doesn't matter. Once it's Balua, every Balua is Balua from outside.
It's like
I was about to say, there's a number of different approaches, quite a few different approaches as to what the mechanism of Tumah Balua is, whether it has a din of, the Torah gave it a din of being absorbed, like equal inside something else. You know, obviously a baby is not digestive, but it's like, some learn it's like equal. Some learn there's a brisker rov, a reptile that learned in the Rambam that is similar to the din of Tzomit Posel, which is Matzah Bar Yalameis. works with the same type of oil. And there's a number of other approaches as well, that it loses the shame of what it is, and once it's balua inside something else, it becomes bottled to that thing. But whatever the mechanism is, I mean, there are minor nafkaminas, obviously. Whatever the mechanism is, here that's the question regarding masa. It's very, this is already a gross effect, normal masa. What's the din? Baya says it's balua. Rava says it's only beta stani. Amar Rava, I'll prove it to you. Minah, minallah. We just had it. We just had yesterday the brisa that says, when we were talking about the tuma of a woman who has intercourse, so we said, Nipesh tuma is based on starim. To say that she would be metame because of maga with the shikhva zera, no, because it's beta starim. The tuma beta starim lo metame. El shik zerata katuvi. We said it's a zerata katuv that she would be tamea. But the zerata katuv is not the fact that it was balua. It was the fact that it's a beta starim. Said that the parish in the brisa. So that's pretty clear to me, says Rava, that it is not a din in balua. Does it buy that? That doesn't prove anything. I mean, because obviously we would want to take the most extreme argument anyway, right? Shikvazer is not metame b'masa. So it really isn't no gain whether the problem is balua or beta stari. So why would we need to limit it dafka to the area which is mamish balua? And how about if it's all the way towards the outside? So it would be Beit HaStarim. Even if it's just a Beit HaStarim issue, it still requires Gzerat HaKatruv. So it's Chodavot Kama. We often do that. A Braiser will take one thing and then add another argument to broaden it. Saying, and besides which, and it's first of all, it's Tumah Galua. And besides which, even if you want to tell me it isn't Tumah Galua, even if you want to tell me it's in an area which is only Tumah Beit HaStarim, so it still wouldn't be Matamah, because Shikwazer is Matamah B'maga, not B'masa, and therefore it's Zerat HaKatuvi. That Bryce is not coming to address your particular issue, Rabbi. It's coming to explain why it's Zerat HaKatuvi. So it certainly makes sense to use the broadest case. So it talks about Beit HaStarim. That doesn't mean that there is no issue of Tum Balua here. Iboil, how about the Mokom Nivlat of Tahor itself? How about the place where you're swallowing the Nivlat of Tahor, which is the upper part of the Beit HaBliya? Is that considered to be Balua, or is that considered to be a Beit HaStarim? Lamainat Kabina, same friendly guy, except this time he shoves it up your throat. You know, so he's got a piece of Nivela. Not a piece of Nivlas Ha'of, obviously, because that's Matami. Mm-hmm. Piece of regular Nivela of an animal that is not Matami, the Beit HaBliya. And somebody shoves it up your throat. Talk of Lokaver of Gazayim Nivela Toch Pi. See, I'm a Balua Have Tuma. Balua Lo Matami. Look, if it's Balua, then it's not going to be Matami at all. But on the other hand, I'm a Beit HaStarina Have, maybe it wouldn't be Matami B'maga. But B'masa would certainly be Matami.
Could be eating.
No, eating doesn't affect the veil. So Abayama Balua Havi only affects Nivlas Ha'ot. Ravama Beit HaStarim Havi. Amar Semachokis says Abaya, I'll prove it to you. Titania Yalkote Nivlas Behema Mitama Begadima Beit HaBliya. You might think that the nevela of a behema as opposed to an oath would also be Mitame Begadim if you swallow it. Those things which have tuma, by the way, the mentioning of trefa over there is only to explain that it means minim that have trefa, in other words, minim tyrant. So that which only has tuma through eating is the case where you can have lo yochal latam ava. But yatztazusha tumeya kodem shokhlenu. Again, in the vela, you touch it, you be metame. You have to eat it, be metame. V'teise mikavachomer menivlat of tahor. Why don't we learn out from the kavachomer, it says that. If a nivlas of tahor, which does not have tuma b'chutz of your body, if you touch it, or if you carry it, nonetheless, yesh la tuma b'fnim. So kol shekein in the vela of a behema, she yesh la tuma b'chutz. Ein odim she yesh la tuma b'fnim. Therefore, says the pasuk l'tam ava, only with this can you, this is the only way you can be metame. L'tam ava, only with nivlas of tahor, v'lo v'acheret. So then, ask the surprise, so then why does it say, in the case of an avela of ha'ochelet nivlata? What's the ochel then? What's the meaning of eating? Litain shi'ur l'nogea v'nosek ochel. Doesn't mean eating is metame you. It means you should know that the shear that is metame you b'maga, or the shear that is metame you b'mas, if you carry an animal corpse, is the shear which is the size of achila. What's the size of achila? Gezayit. Ma'ochel b'gezayit dat nogea v'nosek b'gezayit. So therefore, what you see over here, that there is no tumah in the base of bling of an adam.
Killing a dead bird, like a dead fetus, that's not part of the... It's not similar to...
Inside your body?
Yeah.
Inside nothing is metabolic.
Even if she has a dead fetus, it's not...
Not shaykh to be metabolic. It's inside of her. Nothing is metame
after
inside.
The head came out into
the and there's something else.
And she's no care, right?
Yeah. Omar Rava. Says Rava, look, sheretz bekomto. If you have, let's say, a dead lizard that you're carrying around in a fold of your body, so you have it under your arms, in your crotch, somewhere where it's not generally exposed, then you're tohar. Because it can only be metame of a marga. And there's no marga, but beit hastarim.
Under your arm is called beit hastarim.
Beit hastarim, because it's normally not exposed. Whereas a nevela, on the other hand, bekomto, is tome. Because sheretz bekomto is tar. Sheretz is metame of benegia. Okay, beit hastarim is lav bar marga. Masha en kein, the nevela is metame, bekomto is tame, because nehida b'maga la metame, even though it's not metame b'maga, but it is metame b'masa. So there it's not negev, it's the beit hastarim, it's certainly not balua. Sheretz bekomto furthermore. So you're carrying a sheretz in a body fold. V'ichniso la'avir tanur, and you stick it into the airspace of a stove, which is made out of cheres. So the din is kli cheres is makabel tuma mi'aviro. It doesn't have to come into contact with the actual tanur. Since it's not balua in your body, it will be metame, the stove into which you insert it. Isn't that obvious? Why isn't that obvious? No, it's not so obvious, because remember that the terrorist is called a shebitocho.
Wait, what did you put into it?
You stuck
your fold in.
Yeah.
Not this piece of sheretz. Oh.
Yeah, obviously. You stuck
the
sheretz in your fold into the tanur.
But it didn't hit the air necessarily.
It hit the air, but it was covered by your skin.
Your skin necessarily hit the air, but the thing itself did not.
Right, and that's the chiddush. Yes. You might think that it has to be tocho and not inside a cover like your folds of skin, right? I'm Rahman. Lo toch tocho. Kamashwa, the lo toch tocho means not in another kli, which is inside this kli that has its opening beyond the kli, as we learned in Kula. But there's no problem of keeping it in a fold of your skin.
But in the Tupperware plastic things, then there wouldn't be a tame.
It depends what type of.
Whether it's
concealer. That's a long piece of Gemara. This is the marker of learning that Kalim are not a Kabbal Tuma from a Rishon Tuma.
Okay. We had this also, you know?
We had the whole thing at length in Kulin. Yeah. Not about folds of skin, though.
No.
Yeah, but that we're
about Kalim inside the Klei
Chara. So, tell me that wasn't fun. Come on, that was great. What a wonderful way to speak. Can you imagine other people are at the movies? I mean, this is...
I like the part of the...
Which movie?
Bringing Hasima in.
Yes, isn't that interesting? Yeah, it's fascinating.
That was a tendency.
Yeah. Yeah. That's weird. Good.